Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Now, thank you, guys. Blessings to you all. Glad you're all here. I know I am. Today, as normal, every first Sunday of the month, we have communion, where we have corporate communion. So as the servants start passing out the elements, please hold on to them. And I'll say it again, because sometimes people have a little trouble separating them. But just keep working at it, okay? Because they're together, but you have the juice and you also have the bread that you have to take apart, okay? And hold on to them until we can all do it together. The other thing I want to mention about communion is that other Sundays, we have communion for everyone at that back table. And this is for you to go as an individual, to go with your spouse, to take a family. But communion is always available for you to take every Sunday. Also, way in the back over there, we have communion cups also. If you need something to take home or to take to a hospital, sometimes you want to administer communion maybe to one of your friends that is in the hospital. These little things are all put together, and you're welcome to just grab as many as you need for that special occasion. Okay, so that's over towards the back of the wall. Communion here in the table behind us here, behind you, every Sunday. But today is corporate communion. Okay. So as soon as, So as soon as y'all get served, we will begin with that. You know, one of the things I was reading about whenever Jesus had his Last Supper. You know, he administered the elements to his disciples. But in Matthew, it says that after they had done that, that they said a hymn. They sang a hymn. And then they took off and walked out to the Mount of Olives. So when you think of communion, it's just not to take the elements and kind of do a duty. This is something that's just a part of who we're supposed to be. There's supposed to be a joy. There's supposed to be just so much going on in our hearts. And so after communion, of course, we're going to go back into worship. But that's exactly what the disciples did as they took off and went to the garden. They sang hymns. Thank you. All right, I think everybody's pretty much there. If you would all stand with me, please. And the word says that at that Last Supper, and I would imagine, you know, from what you read, that Jesus knew exactly what would follow. And of course, he goes on to the garden and he goes through his times. But just one of the things that not only do we read in the Bible, but that I like to place here when we do communion is that when we do this, it's to remember what he did. In Corinthians, Paul says that, you know, he said, do it in remembrance. And so all this is, they're symbols, but they're reminders of what Jesus did on that cross. And I've always told you that when he said finished, that's what we have to remember, that he did it all for us. Anything that had to be done, Jesus took care of. And so as we take this bread, and this is a symbol of his body, his broken body, a body that was beaten, a body that was mocked, a body that was just made look so distorted. You know, we don't even want to think about what he could have gone through. But that's so that our bodies could be whole. He wants wholeness for each one of us today. So as we take this, really receive that. That means health. That means all those things that our bodies go through. He paid the price so that we would not have to. So the word says that as he was at the Last Supper, that after giving thanks, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave to his disciples. So please take the bread. And then in the same way, he gave thanks again. And then he gave him the wine at that point. This is a symbol. And we know that it's only because of his shed blood that every sin that you have committed or that you will commit, he's already paid for. Do not ever let condemnation come upon you. He is not about condemning you. Those are things that come from the enemy. This symbol, this is the symbol of his blood for the covering of your sins, for forgiveness of your sins, past, present, and future. So please take the cup. And just take a moment and do what he says. Just remember. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. And now we're going to do what the disciples did. We're going to sing some hymns. God bless you guys. Enjoy worship.
How many of you know that every time that you believe for something new, it can be a discomfort, right? Because you're really stepping out in faith that what God's going to do and what God's speaking to you about is going to come to pass regardless of what you see, right? I don't know. I just have this feeling that God... It might sound weird, but you don't have to come to the front, even if you're stepping out of the place you're used to. So whether that's out of your chair area, whatever it is, but if you're believing in a healing, if you're believing in chains breaking, if you're believing whatever it is, if you're standing on a promise that God's given you, I just want to encourage you, step out of your comfort zone this morning. There's a thing that happens. Whew, I can really feel this. There's a thing that happens when we choose to step out. Even when it may seem impossible, even when it seems difficult, even when it seems like, God, I don't know how you're gonna do it. But it's that first step, the obedience, right? That really can make a huge difference in our life. So this morning, if you are believing for something, I just know God's saying, step out of your comfort zone. Move out, step out. Whether it's stepping out of your seat right now or doing something different, we're gonna go back into this song, and this song is 100%. It is, we're singing what we know God, the power of God in our life is. We're declaring it. We're just singing it out. And that's what it is. This song all week, I've just enjoyed it so much because it's really a declaration of everything we know that he is, how powerful he is, the things he can do in our life, and the love that we have for the one that we know it has a hold of it all. Every single part, every aspect. And when we learn to give that up, when we learn to just say, God, it's yours. And I know that even death has been defeated, that things come alive in your presence. When we allow him to flow and give us those things, you'll begin to see. Whew, you'll begin to see the dead things in your life just come alive and change and become so much more than even what you thought it could. Hallelujah.
Hi. So I want to testify to what we're standing in obedience over. I had this morning with the family member that I'm believing for God to break through with just our family in coming to serve the Lord. And as I came in this morning, you know, we all used to drink, and I came in this morning and I walked over there and I got received a hug. The Lord gave me a hug through Miss Nancy, and she said, "You know what? Look at where we are today." She said, "We used to stand in hatred, and today we're loving each other. And you would have never thought back then that we would have been here today." And so I'm standing on a testimony right now. Testimonies do it again. So if there's anybody in here that is hatred in your family, we are living proof that God is a breakthrough of hatred. And so I just give you that to take it again. Say, "It's mine," and stand on it for your family, because God is a good God. And we are here to testify.
Yesterday, the Lord gave me a message for a group that I was speaking to yesterday. And this morning, he says, give the same message to the church. So I'd like to do that. This is a new day for everyone. It may be similar to other days, but is unique in every way. For each day is a new creation, a new beginning, and a new way to navigate through the world of trials and tribulations. But one day soon, all things will become new. A day of great glory, when once again I will step foot in Jerusalem. But this time, a new city will emerge, a new kingdom will be established, and my children will rule and reign with me.
Yes.
Oh, what a glorious day that will be.
Hallelujah.
But until that day comes, today and each day, you must persevere and rejoice that I am coming quickly. In a day, in an hour, no one knows. Stand up for me and prepare the way. For each of you is an ambassador of the kingdom of God here in this earth, with the power and authority to represent the King of the ages, the creator of all things, the I Am. Stand, therefore, and raise a banner of praise and worship for your King, your Father, your Comforter. Hold strong, speak with the authority of the Holy Spirit, and stand strong on my promises. For my word is truth, the plan is perfect, and you are precious in my eyes. My sons, my daughters, hold fast for the day that is at hand, each and every day, and you are in my hand. So rejoice always, for I am with you, for you, and in you. You were created like no other, for you are the work of my hands. I am the potter, and you are the clay. So stand steadfast and rejoice for this day I have made. Rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you. Praise God. Yeah, come on.
So Rebecca was talking earlier about stepping out. And I want to take a step back. Before we can step out, we need to know what God wants us to do, right? We need to be seeking him and asking him where we need to step out. So I want to share with you my little guy over there, my little five-year-old, recently has been saying the word no a lot.
Oh boy.
And so I'll ask him to do something. He goes, "No." And I'm like, "What? You can't tell me no. I'm your mother. You're supposed to listen to me, right?"
No.
And he'll be doing something, and we tell them things for a reason, right? Because we know the outcome of what he's doing is not what he wants. And so he's going to be disappointed, right? Like, we know better, right? So that's why we tell them. So it made me think about how many times do we tell God no? Hey,
come on,
go talk to this person. No. Hey, you just got paid. Did you put your tithings in? No.
Come on.
But how much better and simpler would life be if we just did what God was asking us to do? Stepping out in faith, no matter the circumstances, because He knows what is best for us, and He knows our outcome.
That's right. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah.
Just really quickly, I know you're coming. Come up still. Come up still. I just wanted to say that, because I have something that kind of goes along with Micaiah. Micaiah and I have been agreeing. She's been agreeing with me on something, and it's been on that stepping out. And, you know, sometimes our unwillingness to move is a no in itself, right? Like, being scared, being unsure, so then being like, okay, God, like, I don't know if I can do that, and not doing it, it's still a no, right? Like, we still didn't do it. And I know I had talked to Micaiah last Sunday, because I told her, I know God's been telling me about this thing. And she goes, well, how come you think you haven't done it? And I knew it was fear. You know what I mean? Like, it was just fear. It's scary to step out into this new area, this new thing, right? But it's always just that we got to take that step, right? And can I tell you that He filled every single one of my days of reading with that and like different scriptures in different ways over and over. It was like this slap in the face of like, you can't say I'm not telling you, because I've told you like 30 different ways now, right? But Micaiah texted me back the other day, and she gave me a word. It went exactly along with the word I got in the morning. And then she was telling me about Abe's week. And I really sympathized, because I watched God really shake up my world in work for months now, because I think He was telling me, you've gotten real comfortable and it's time to step out. And that's the thing, is when she told me about Abe's week, it really hit me like, oh man, sometimes these things happen and we're seeing them as like, ugh, like, why is this happening at work, God? Like, why isn't your blessing upon me the way that we've said so many times? And really, He's like, it is, and I'm moving you out. So it's time, you know what I mean? And I know I prayed for Abe like crazy that day. Every time I felt frustrated, I prayed for him. Every time something happened, I prayed for him, because I knew God's working something. And He, even though it seems weird or odd or like our world's all crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's working together for good. It's bringing good things. And so just know that sometimes that step may be scary, but take the step, because you're not taking the step is still a no, and we're still not being obedient in what God's calling us to do.
That's right.
No, that's okay. I was receiving the same word this morning from Him too. So it's just resonating over and over. It's just confirming that we're supposed to walk by faith, and not by what we see, not by what we hear, not by what our circumstances are. We need to walk by faith. And it's so amazing that I wasn't going to share this, but everything's coming together, and the Lord says, you need to share this. So there was a man of God that had tremendous amount of faith. His name was Abraham. We refer to him as Father Abraham. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to preach, but I just had to explain a little bit about that, that it goes together. So Father Abraham, he took the step of faith. That's what we're talking about, stepping forward. He took the step of faith. He took his son up there. He knew that he had to sacrifice something, someone. And the Lord was telling, He was testing him. So we get tested. Boy, we get tested. So, but God says we must take that step of faith.
Yes.
So He took me to, this morning before all this, Hebrews 11. and 17, it says, "By faith, Father Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called.'" Oh, wow. "Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense."
Good man.
How many things in our lives can we say are dead? It's over. This promise is done. It's over. I don't foresee it. I don't see it. We're not to do that. We're to walk by faith and say, "Yes, Lord, it's yours. I trust you." That's what Father Abraham did. And he gave him the animal to sacrifice instead of his son. So trust him. Trust him. It's a journey we all walk in. But trust him. My prayer is that I would trust him like Father Abraham did. That's a long way for me to go, but that's where we need to go. God bless you all.
I want to share something that really helped me this week. I heard, "Don't blame the darkness for being dark. Shine your light."
Rebecca said, "Let's get out of our comfort zone." And I'm standing up here out of my comfort zone for sure. Because I've been standing up here a couple of times saying, I'm dealing with something. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to call it out right now and say that I've been dealing with a cough, a debilitating cough, for 10 months now. I have seen 6 doctors. I have been prayed over multiple times. For last night, there was a breakthrough of something that happened last night. And that breakthrough was, you know how we all call on the name of Jesus, and that's a wonderful thing. We need to call on the name of Jesus. And then conversation with Steve this morning, calling on the name of Jesus, pleading the blood of Jesus over my chest, over my cough. I'm in a place after 10 months, I'm absolutely in a place. You know, I've stood up here and I say, I've surrendered. Yes, the surrender is surrendering this cough to God. But I'm also in a place of surrender where I'm, and why I'm telling you all this isn't for me, this is for all of you. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever it is, health, circumstances, struggles, whatever, I call on the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over this cough. 10 months, it's affected my sleep. It's affected my daily life. So right now, I'm asking you all to be in agreement just for whatever it is you're all going through. There's something that everyone's going through. Let's all call on the name of Jesus for our healing, for our strength, for our peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. So I thank you for your prayers. I thank you. I just believe that God directed me also to Safeway the other night. And I was like, "God, direct me to the medication that you want. Show me what I'm supposed to do here. Please, God." Then, of course, a medication stood out. You know how the Word of God stands out sometimes and it looks like it's amplified and it's standing out? There was this box of medication that looked like it was standing out like a sore thumb. And I grabbed it and I said, "Yes, God, I'll do that." God sends us medication. He sends us things that are going to help us. Obviously, the doctor has not helped because every medication I've taken has not worked. So this medication is like a It's a relief DM. Ever since I started taking that 2 days ago, praise be unto God, my cough is greatly reduced. So I thank God that He directs our steps. He directs our steps, and I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know that He directs our steps where we're supposed to go. Like, who was it that said where we're supposed to go? Right? Wasn't it Micaiah? Wasn't that you that said where we're supposed to go? Pray. So there you go. I'm just believing and trusting God that this cough is going to be healed in the name of Jesus, and we plead the blood of Jesus over all our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Can you think of anything better than God? Anything better than Jesus? He's the best. He's the best. There's nothing nowhere better than our God. He deserves all the honor, all the glory. Here's what He spoke to me just while I'm walking around listening to y'all. He says, will you offer unto me an offering that's sick? Will you offer a blemished offering to me, says the Lord? Sometimes we don't realize that we are to worship Him with all our hearts and all our minds and all our soul and all our spirits. Who cares about what anybody around you says? Who cares? It's you and Him. It's a focus between you and Him in your worship. So what He says in this is Malachi chapter 1, verse 14. I'm not going to, it says this, but cursed be the deceiver which has in his flock a male and vows and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. There's something about just giving it all to the Lord and just opening it all up and say, God, I'm just worshiping you. You know what, folks? It's good to be patient with God. Sometimes you might have something wrong with you, but it's okay. Can you say amen? Because the Bible says you were healed a long time ago. But see, somehow in ourselves, we have an expectation it has to happen right now. But what if God is doing something? What if what if there's a happening in your future? What if God is trying to get you just to say, relax, I've got you. My word has said to you, I paid for those diseases, those sicknesses, they're paid for. And then He says right here, for I am a great king.
Yes.
I'm going to agree with that. He's a great king. There is nobody like Him. There's nothing like Him. He's a great king, and He's worthy to be worshipped with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Some people might say, well, I just the way I worship. You know what? You're going to feel pretty cotton picking. That's a good word in church, isn't it? You're going to feel pretty cotton picking out of place just standing there when we're worshiping before the throne of God. Because I'm going to tell you, there's some action going on. There's some movement going on. There's probably hopping and jumping, laying on the floor and running around. People grabbing each other and saying, woo, hallelujah. We serve a great king. He's a great king. Woo. The mamby-pamby people that won't worship God when the time is now. The time is now. The time is now to worship the king in the earth. That He might speak into your life the things that He has for you. You don't need somebody to prophesy over. You don't need somebody to say things to you. You need to hear from the Lord on your own, one-on-one, you and Him, nobody else. That way you got it, you understand it, you know it. That's all you need. The King is a great King. He's worthy of honor. He's worthy of glory.
worthy of a little jump. He's worthy of a clap. Oh, God, we worship you. He's worthy to raise your hands and say, God, I just want you to see me. I'm right here. I love you, and I want you to know that I love you and I care about you. Hallelujah. That's the God. That's what he's looking for. He's not looking for this well. He's not looking for that. He's not looking for you to sit there. Hallelujah. Oh, look at that guy. No. You got to understand this king. He's a great king. Hallelujah. He is a great and mighty God. As a pastor, sometimes it troubles me that I don't see things. But God said, don't look out of your eyes. But I look with my eyes. With my eye. Oh, if there's any time to be worshiping and laying down before him and calling upon him, now is the time. Now is the time. Hallelujah. All you need is him. He's giving you his spirit so that you can go directly to him, so you can hear directly from him. Put me out of business, I would say. Come on. Come on, man. The Word of God says that these gifts, the fivefold, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, they're for one thing, to the building up of the body of Christ till we all come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. Folks, he's a great king. He's worthy of glory. He's worthy of honor. He's worthy to lay down your life. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Sing this with me. Oh.
Good enough.
One more time. Nothing is better than you. Come on, man. Let's give somebody a high five.
There's nothing better than you. There's nothing.
Nothing.
Better than you. Lord. There's nothing.
Nothing. Hallelujah. Give him a praise. Let's glorify him. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody behind, in front of you, behind you, next to you, and tell them there's nothing like God. There's nobody like God. There's nothing like God. He is one. He is one. And that's it. He's the only one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the lives of your people. We thank you for today. This is a day you've made, Lord. This is a day we rejoice. Father, we expect nothing less than, Father God, the glory of God in our lives. Yes. Nothing less. Nothing. Father, we thank you that you are able, Father, to do far abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Father God, that we as men and women, Lord, before you, Lord, we lay down our hearts before you. And we say, Lord, speak to my heart. Father, open a window. Open a window. Open a window. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name in Jesus. In Jesus' name, can you say amen?
Amen.
Open a window. Hallelujah. Ooh, got excited this morning. I'm sorry. Oh, man. I tell you what. I can feel when my dog runs a lot to get the ball. He loves running. He'll run all day long. And even though he's tired, that's what I'm doing right now. I mean, I'll tell you what. Somebody said this morning, you're looking a little chubbier. I said, I am a little chubbier. I said, man, I get with my son, we eat three meals a day, and I'm not used to that. And I'll tell you what, that's okay. How you say amen?
Amen.
How many like eating?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, come on, man. Hallelujah. How many know we're an eating bunch? Yeah, we like to eat. Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, everybody, all at once, call out your favorite food. Ready, go. One, two, three, go. Tacos, that's it. Ah, you guys, hey, bunch of shoe polishers you are, shoe shiners. Tacos, yeah. That's right, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Hey, we're heading for Easter. We're heading for the resurrection Sunday. Let me say amen to that. So next Sunday, it's the Sunday after that, right?
Yes.
Passover next week, and it's that next one. Yeah. So next week we'll also I see that we're going to have another. We will be having another Lord's Supper. We're going to have another communion next Sunday. We're gonna kind of move into that next week. But this week we're moving into where Jesus went into Jerusalem. And they call it the what?
Triumphant entry.
Is that what they call it? Yeah, that's what they call it. The triumphant entry. Good girl. We're going to be talking about the triumphant entry. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. Glory to God. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. And we're going to start with verse 1. Go to verse 11. Hallelujah. The word of God says here, it says, and when they came to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent for two of his disciples and said to them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him here. A little glimpse into how the Lord operates. He operates in two places, one right now and then one in the future. He knows what's coming. He knows what's going to happen. He has this ability. Can you say amen? He has the ability to see ahead and know that this is what the Father has for him. And Father, and folks, I'm going to tell you, there's things coming that you're going to have that ability too. You're going to see ahead and you're going to know that God has something for you that is coming towards you. Can you say amen to that? It's not just a random, okay, well, I'm serving the Lord, I'm looking forward to this. It is a thing that God's going to be speaking to you. He's going to show you and you're going to recognize it when you see it. Is that okay? So here he says, you know, he says, go in there and you find this, you're going to find this colt. It's like a baby donkey. But it's grown strong enough so it could hold him. And this donkey, nobody's ever been on it. And how do you know donkeys don't like getting ridden right off the bat? How many know that? Is that right, Steve?
Yes.
Donkeys can be, if they don't jump around and try to get you off their back, they might just sit down on you. Can you say amen to that? Have you ever seen a donkey sit down and the owner tries to pick it up, get it to move? Anybody seen that? A donkey sitting there, you ain't moving me. No, you ain't moving me. And he's pulling on him, and that neck is going back and forth, and they're going, I ain't getting up. That reminds me of some of the worshipers we have here. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. That's not too good, is it? Come on, man. Hallelujah. But God knows about, he knew exactly what he had asking for. He said, hey, go and find this colt, right? Praise God. Hey, the pastor's being mean this morning. Come on, man. He said, in verse 3, says, if any man say to you, why do ye this? Say that the Lord has need of him, and straightway he will send him here. And they went their way and found a colt tied by the door outside a place where two ways meet, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded them, and said, and they let them go. Well, the Lord needs them. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him and sat upon him. And he sat upon him, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strawed them in the way. And they went before, and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Blessed is the kingdom of our father, David, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered in Jerusalem and into the temple. Excuse me, can I get some water? And into the temple, and when he had looked around about all things, now the eventime was come, and he went out into Bethany with the 12. And I want to tell you, just move over to Luke chapter 19, verse 33 through 40. Same thing, we're looking at the triumphal entry. Sorry, man. Excuse me. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Rick. Everybody give Rick a hand. He's a good man. Yeah, come on, man. Hallelujah. Brother, you will not lose your reward. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Come on. All right. Luke chapter 19, starting verse 33 through 40. Verse 33 says this. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. I don't think they needed somebody to say, come on, let's worship God, man. I think it was one of those instantaneous things that began to just happen. They began to worship the Lord because whether they knew it or not, well, I'll get to that. They began to worship the Lord and for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said to him, Master, rebuke your disciples. Crazy. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you what, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Amen?
Yes.
Why? Because it was prophesied. You see, this is the strength of prophecy. See, whenever God says something, it's going to happen. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
It will happen.
Yes.
God knows timelines. He knows exactly where you're at. When he says something and you hold it as a promise to you or when he tells you something, you hold on to it.
Amen.
Don't let it go. I remember when we had just kind of, the Lord had just started us together as a group of people that the Lord said, hey, we're going to start it. I want you to pastor a church. He spoke, he said, Habakkuk chapter 2, it says, the vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it. This is something that we don't like doing. How many say amen to that? I don't like waiting.
Yeah.
Some people want to be the first one to the restaurant. How many say amen? Yeah? Can you make this quick, Pastor? You only got 30 minutes left. Yeah, okay, make it quick. Some people want to be the first one to buy something new. Some people want to be the first one to the movie theater to see Chosen. Yeah. You know what? Expect. It's funny how we are. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We want to be first.
Oh, yeah.
I want to be first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's crazy. That's just the way we are.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to waiting on God, sometimes we just don't want to be. We just like, come on, God. What's taking you so long? Don't you know me? He knows you. He knows you better than you know you. And that's a good know.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
He knows you better than you know you. He knows whether you're whether. See, the Bible says that he will not take you through anything that you can't handle. Is that right?
Yep.
Is that right? He knows you better than you know you. You might think you can't handle it, but God said, no, you can handle it. You watch. You hold my hand, and you'll handle it.
Amen.
Listen to my word, and you'll handle it. What did I promise you? You'll handle it. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's a good thing to wait on God. It's a good thing. Ooh, God, hallelujah. But we're a funny people, aren't we? Yeah, look at your neighbor and say, man, you're funny. Man, come on. Hallelujah. You see, the prophetic word, the word that the apostles speak, the words that the prophets before, the words that David in the Psalms, the kings, those words, the prophetic power that's within them, it's always there. It'll never leave you nor forsake you. Because it is, in a sense, Jesus Christ himself, the word of God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
No more idealism. Well, those are great ideals you have. Those are great ideas. The ideals come from ideas, yeah, about how we should handle ourselves and everything. But Jesus, he's not an idealist. He's a realist.
Amen.
The reality of the word became flesh. There is no religion that can claim that. No other religion that can say that word became flesh. Because that's what Jesus is. The utmost reality is Christ. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The utmost reality is Jesus. Your eyes might say something to you different. Your ears might say something to you different. Your kneecap, your elbow, your kidneys, your respiratory system might say something different, but your heart better say what God says. This is what God says. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Can you say it again?
Amen.
I got to quit doing that, man. I say it all that. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says this. This is why Jesus told those guys, hey, if everybody holds their peace, I'm going to tell you what, the rocks will cry out. The trees will clap their hands. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, for the daughter of, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king comes to you. Huh? He's just. How many say amen?
Amen.
And having what? Woo, aren't you glad?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't you glad he had salvation in his hand? He had, and he's got, folks, the Bible says in another place, he's got healing in his wings. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah,
yes, Lord, thank you.
He's just having salvation, lowly, riding upon a donkey. I'm not going to say that word. And a colt, upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. The prophetic word. Can't change it. Go with it. Can you say amen to that? Say, God, I'm going to go with your word. You see, this is why I only look at the Bible. I just go to the word of God. I look at other translations. But my favorite is the King James. You guys all know that. But I only look at the word of God. I don't care about anything that's outside the word of God. My heart doesn't care about it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I care about the Wildcats. Come on, man. Oh, man. But do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As a pastor, I've got to be focused. And well, I'll tell you what. I believe it pays off to stay focused in a certain area.
Yeah.
I don't try to move out of the area God gives me. I want to move where he wants me.
Yep.
And so the prophetic word, the prophetic insight, if you will, is something that we need to look at and look for. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm going to take you to back to Mark chapter 11, verse 4, because I want to talk to you about this. And I heard quite a bit about this morning. I love it. And so they went their way. Amen?
Amen.
Who went their way? The two disciples that Jesus sent to go get the donkey. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door outside, that's without, outside in a place where the Bible says right here, two ways met. You're not going to find that in another translations. It's not in a lot of translations except some of the older ones. But it says in a place where two ways met. And they loosed him. Folks, can I tell you something? All your lives, you're going to come to a place where two ways met. All your lives. Yeah, that's right. You're going to come to a place where two ways met. Meet. And you're going to have to make a choice. Is that right? You're going to come to a fork in the road. And you're going to have to say, well, okay, which way do I go? That way or that way? And see, these disciples, they came to that place. I'm sure they're walking down the road. They go, bro, you get the donkey. I'll be ready to run. No, you get the donkey. Okay, you untie him, and I'll lead him off. And you talk to the guy, whoever it is. You see, they had to feel like America's Most Wanted. Is that right? Because they are just going in there and grabbing somebody's donkey. That's not good. So they're in a place where two roads met. Are we going to listen to Jesus, or are we going to... Hey, we can tell him we couldn't find it. We can make an excuse. Is that right? Ooh. We talked about, my daughter was saying where she knew where God was taking, that God was talking to her. See, the road had divided. And now God's saying, you need to go do what I tell you. Amen? This is what you do every time you run into a fork in the road. You say, Lord, I'm not sure which way to step. Will you show me? Because the Bible says, he's good about his word. And he said, I will lead you and guide you. Is that right? The steps of a good man are ordered. Is that right? Amen. What does that mean? That means there comes a word from heaven saying, "Take, this is a road. Yes. This is a way. Walk therein." Yes. Is that right?
Yep.
But see, like, look at your neighbor and say, "You're funny. You're funny." See, we're funny people. We think we got to make that decision. For some reason, I don't know. I don't get it. But we think we have to make the decision. Where God says, no, I'm trying to lead you. Ask me. Amen. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be open to you, right?
Yep.
What's the other one? Seek and you'll find. Oh, yeah. Funny people, ain't we?
Yeah.
We're a bunch of funny people. Ha, that's what I say. Ha, ha. Because a lot of times if you don't ask, because he's trying to, if you don't ask, you end up with a, ha, ha. I think I'm on the wrong road, Lord. So, yeah, you are. Yep. But don't worry, I've made a provision to get you back. Because that's the way God is. He knows what we're going to do even before we do it. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Come on, we got to trust him that he knows the best. Come on.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is a good God. He's a great king.
Yep.
Can we say amen?
Amen.
Mm. See, you're going to have to come. You're going to get to. And there's been this in the scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 says this. They went their way. Oh, I'm sorry. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. Does that look like a crossroad to you? It is. It really is. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, we'll skip on down and read this. Verse 19 says this, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Now, to check it out. God is looking, he's like, hey man, I'm watching you.
All right.
I'm watching you. I called heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing.
Yes.
You see, and a lot of people say, well, we make our own choices. Well, kind of. Not as a Christian anymore. Because our choices, I mean, we can make a lot of bad choices, but God says, I want to lead you and I want to guide you. So he even says here, he's, I'm going to set a place before you, blessing and cursing. Therefore, what does he say? He tells us what to choose. Can you say amen to that? He tells us what to choose. Choose life that both you and your seed might do what? Live. Everybody say live.
Live.
How many want to live? I want to live, yeah. I want to live. Can you say amen? How many of you know that God says, Jesus says that he's going to give you life and life more abundant? Come on, folks. I don't think we've even stepped into life, abundant life as it is. Because he's already, I sent out a text this morning to the team, I guess. And I said, hey, you know what? This is, you know, God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Is that right?
Amen.
That's, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, maybe 2 Peter. Okay. But God has already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's already there. Where is it? Do you want to know where it's at? How many of you want to know where it's at? If not, one, two, three. Well, that's not a majority, so I won't tell you where it's at. I'll tell you where it's at. It's in you. It's already in you. This is the importance of asking him. Don't come and ask me. Don't come and say, hey, can you do it? I mean, you know what? Most of the time I'll tell you, you know what? You just go back to the Lord and spend some time there. Let him speak it to you. Choose life. Amen? Hallelujah. Here's a choice. Romans 8:2 says this. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Which one do you want to live in? There's a fork right there. You're at a fork in the road. Which one do you want? I mean, you almost got to be not too smart to choose the death. Can you say amen to that? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Folks, see, but there is a law. Can you say amen to that? We still should be under our law. Is that right? But it's not the law of Moses. It's the law of life according to the Spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Read the whole chapter. It's a beautiful chapter. Romans 8. Hallelujah. Another choice. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a choice right there. You can choose to crucify, you can choose to realize that you've been crucified with Christ. Can you say amen to that? A lot of people don't want to do that. They don't want to step in and say, I'm dead. Is that right? A lot of people don't want to say, hey, I died. The Bible says, yep, it's given unto men once to die. Amen?
Amen.
And then judgment.
Yes.
And judgment isn't wrath. Judgment is understanding that he's talking about in that verse. So the once to die, you died at the cross. Now you're alive in Christ. But some people won't make that decision, won't step into that pathway that says, you know what, I died. Therefore, I can't go on what I want. I have to go by what he wants. And sometimes, folks, some people will say, well, that means, you know, what he wants is, you know, is he wants you to go preach, or he wants you to go start a mission, or he wants to start a hospital for orphans or all that. People think that way. But God wants to bless you.
Amen.
It can be with a new car. It can be with a new house. It can be in a new city. It can be in, but you have to pick up your cross and follow him. You need to crucify who you were and your own thinking and your own mindset and allow him to take over. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Check this out. Romans chapter 6:11. Says this, likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed to sin. Is that right? But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is there a choice there? You reckon yourself. You say, man, I died. So that thing that has been pulling on me and trying to overwhelm me, it's got nothing on me. I'm dead. Amen?
Dead.
There's a scripture in Isaiah that says, thy dead man shall live. What? What are you talking about? He's talking about life. The life that comes through Christ and the sacrifice that he gave. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Mark chapter 11, verse 7 and 8. Okay, we're done with that. How many say amen? Hey, you guys know as I can only speak what God gives me to speak, and you guys know where I come from. I do believe that we don't need to mess around with death. We don't need to accompany it in our lives. Can you say amen to that? When something goes on in your body, we have this knee-jerk reaction to move thinking about death. And God says, don't do that. Move thinking about life. Let my word overwhelm you and overtake you. Is that right? Is that okay? Okay, well, we're going to leave that alone. Mark chapter 11, verse 7 and 8. It says this. They brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches off trees and strawed them in a way. And I love this because I see something. Do you remember in the crowd? Do you know what they... They, when Jesus was on the cross, what were the soldiers doing? Yeah. Is that dice? Is that casting lots, or is casting lots pulling sticks? Pulling sticks. Okay. So this is, forget that. Forget I did that. And this, they're, see, the short straw wins. Is that right? They're casting lots. Okay, hey, in those days, your vesture or your garments were very valuable to you. And so for them to be putting their, taking off their robes or whatever and putting that on the donkey, making a saddle for Jesus, and then taking their garments and throwing them in the road. How many of you guys ever... Randy, have you ever taken off your coat to let a woman walk across a mud puddle? Anybody here ever done that?
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I got no plans to do it. If she don't want to get wet, I'll carry her across. I can get on. Come on, babe, get up here. Yeah, but I ain't throwing my coat down in the water. Are you kidding me? No, babe. Oh yeah. Sometimes we don't realize what these folks were doing. Sometimes that their clothing and is a lot about what they had. Yeah. And they're taking it and they're honoring him by creating a saddle. And then, if you will, a red carpet. Yes. For the king, even though it was not, might not have been red, but it was, I'm sure the Lord is saying, it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. Yeah. Because they got it, because they get it. He's a great king. And he deserves to be honored and worshiped. And you know, I wrote down, it says, in honor and humility, they place their garments under him. To be under his covering. Is that cool? The under the covering of the king. To be under his covering. How many know we're under his covering? Folks, the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life. When you gave your heart to the Lord, it's been applied. It's talked about it in the scriptures, in the Bible study, that the sprinkling of the blood. Remember, Moses took the hyssop and he sprinkled. See, your life, my life, everybody's life, there's been a sprinkling. And it goes into the future. And that blood is touching all those places because he knows when you might fall. He knows the place that you would fall. So he sprinkles even the future for you with his blood. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. Woo! Amen.
It's a beautiful type of what Jesus does for us. Yes. He doesn't just one shot and done. Uh-uh. He knows. God, the Bible says he knows how weak we are. But he says, hey, If they'll pay attention to me, if they'll walk with me, I will strengthen them. Mm. Come on.
Hallelujah. Mm. Huh.
But be careful. How many know we need to be careful? Yeah. The Bible says, you know, the Bible tells it to examine yourself. Make sure you're
in the faith.
In the faith. Is that right? Be careful what you do. I want you to read. This scripture came upon me while I was doing this, and I wasn't really wanting to go to this, but I looked at it, I read it, I said, and I kept moving away from it, but the Lord kept bringing me back. So I know that God is saying this to us, if we will. Is that right? So Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. Mm. This is what he says. Woe. Everybody go, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not wow, that's whoa. Whoa.
Whoa.
Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. He says, that take counsel, but not of me. See, sometimes we're allowing other people to make our decisions for us or tell us what to do. God says, it's not going to happen anymore. He says, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. You see, his spirit is a covering. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what happened? They lost their covering. Is that right?
Yep.
And this is the covering that God is putting on us by the blood of his son. He says, take counsel not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Hmm. That walk to go down into Egypt. Egypt, let's just call it the world. Doing things like the world. Trying to progress your life the way the world does it. Can I tell you that God says, no, I'm going to prosper you the way I want to prosper you. So therefore, you need to seek me. If you don't seek me, the prosperity is going to miss you. Can you say amen? Oh, we got to get this, folks. We got to get this because this is the time. We are in the, amen. Just because you're in the kingdom doesn't mean that blessings are going to pour out all over you. He expects something from you. He expects a humbling and a heart that desires him. Can you say amen to that? That's not hard. He's not asking for your money. Though we might take, hey, we got a box back there, y'all. You guys can put in your money. Yeah, man, it's pink. Yeah, somebody go back there and hold it up. Walk back and forth here with it. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, he's not asking for your money. He's asking for your tithe. Yeah, you thought you'd get away with that, huh? Yeah. He's asking for your heart. He's looking for your heart. And he said, people go down to Egypt, go into the world, and they have not asked at my mouth. You see what I'm talking about? It's the same message. It's the same. We need to talk to him. We need to get orders from him. We need to get clearance. We need to get whatever it is we need to get. We need to get it from him.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. And then they strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh in the world. And trust in the shadow of Egypt. What is it about a shadow? Come here, John. Come here, Pastor John. I don't know if I can get in a place where everybody can see your shadow.
Mine's going to be a big shadow.
It's going to be a big shadow. Okay, right? Yes. What is it about a shadow? Can anybody see it a little bit? Move around a little bit so you can. Anybody see a shadow there?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yes, turn around. Turn around. Stop right there. Did you feel that?
That hurt.
Did you feel that? Hey, listen. Think about it. Go ahead. Thank you, bro. Thank you, bro. Sit down. No. Think about a shadow. It's not real. Can you say amen? That's what the Word of God is saying to us. Those things that the world does out there and how they get along and how they prosper in the earth. It's not real. It's a shadow. Can you say amen? And God's saying the only reality, we said it before, the only reality is Christ. And Christ will order your steps. The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. Trouble is, we go after him for what we want rather than what he wants. Can you say? Can you agree with me that we need to quit doing that? Yes. We need to say, "Okay, God, you're the boss, not me, not my." Hallelujah! That's that surrender. Glory to God. So be careful. Oh, let me just keep reading. This is still good. It says, "Therefore, shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame." See, it's not going to do anybody any good. And trust in the shadow of Egypt will be confusion. Why isn't this working? It worked for Donald Trump. It worked for Elon Musk. Why is it not working for me? Folks, we got to be people of God. We got to have a heart that says, God, I want you and nothing else. Pharaoh, the strength of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes, and they were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them. Do you see that? The world cannot prosper the kingdom. The kingdom prospers only in one way. Is that all right? Can you say amen to that? It's in Christ. Yes. A people that could not profit them, nor be a help, nor a prophet, but a shame and also a reproach. So I would say to you, hey, don't try to do things outside of what God's trying to do for you. Amen. This is why we need to seek the Lord. Seek Him and Him only. Because we're getting some good stuff. Because He paid for you. He bought you. Sometimes we don't understand all that He's done for us. But it's a lot more than what we know. It's a lot more than what we can even comprehend right now. But He's trying to get it to us because He says He's given us the mind of Christ. We need to learn how to operate in the mind of Christ. And it says right here in Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to 24, says this. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that from now on, henceforth, is that okay if I say change that word? From now on, you walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Talking about that world. Forget about it. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with the greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Can you say amen? You haven't learned Christ that way. You don't need to be greedy. You don't need to be lasciviousness, whatever that word is. It's kind of like desiring a bunch of stuff. You don't need it. God wants to give you everything you need. And He has more for you than what you even know He has for you. And it's not all this super spiritual stuff. It's good stuff. Amen. Like I said, houses, lands. Good stuff. So be that you have not learned Christ, if so be that you've heard Him and have been taught by Him and the truth is in Jesus. Can you say amen? The truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Can you say amen? Amen. Put off that old man. Why? Because you're brand new, right?
Heck yeah.
Put him off. Yeah, I'm brand new. I might not look brand new, but I'm new. Can you say amen? Come on, Pastor John. We knew. We newbies. Come on, man. You put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, this is the garment you put on. You put on the new man, this garment. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says this. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. See, you're already dressed. I get up in the morning and I don't dress myself. Can you tell? Because I wouldn't dress this good if I dressed myself. My wife puts my clothes out. And she goes, they're over there. Pick your own socks. Okay. I can pick my own socks because y'all can't see them. Get your own socks. But hey, but she gives me, she puts out my shirt. She tells me the jacket. She goes, go get a jacket. You need a jacket. So I'll get a jacket. She goes, not that one. Oh, what do I know? Praise God. My wife dresses me. Well, gives me what to, for Sunday morning. But God dresses us. Amen. He places a garment upon us. Can you say amen? Amen. Oh, it's a beautiful garment. Yeah. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10 says this. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me. Can you say amen? He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Woo. And as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, he has clothed me with salvation and righteousness. Can you get any better than that?
Nope.
Hallelujah. So Wednesday night, we were talking about the goodness of God and how God, how good God is. And when, remember when Jesus, then a young man ran up to him and says, yeah, oh, you know, good master, what do I have to do to get eternal life? And Jesus said to him, well, bro, why do you call me good? There's none good. You know, in the scripture, he says, a good man out of abundance in his heart brings forth good things. You remember that? Jesus said that. It would seem that Jesus is a little confused, didn't he? He says, why do you call me good? Oh. Jesus was speaking to this young man because the scriptures declared it. There's none good, not one. There's none that knoweth God, none that seeks after him, not a one. So he tells you, I mean, there's none good. But if you want to make it to heaven, go to the word, look at the law. And then he says, in another place, is the good man. What makes us good? There's only one good, but God. What makes us good? God's in us. God has clothed us with his spirit. If you can't get anything this morning, get that he's clothed you with his spirit. And his spirit, it is the power that rose, that raised Christ from the dead. Can I tell you, you're in a good place. I don't care who you are. You're in a beautiful place. Trust God. It's him that dwells in you. Can you say amen? So let's stand up. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Woo! I hope you got something. I know I got something.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have placed robes of righteousness upon us, Lord. You've clothed us with salvation. Father, we don't need anything else, Lord. But what we need is to hear you and to know you and to walk with you, Father, and to go where you say to go and to speak what you say to speak, Lord. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have a great plan. You're a great king and you know how to do things. We thank you for that this morning, Lord. I ask you that you'd bless my brothers and sisters as they go through the week, Father God. Let those garments of praise be seen in a world that doesn't know you. Let the brightness of the righteousness of God be seen upon them, Father, as they walk through the city, through the store, down the street. Let your glory be seen through your children, Father. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming this morning.
Woo!
God bless you real good. Real good.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.